Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz. This is where we get gritty. We give ourselves the grace that we know we deserve and need, and we also celebrate all the glitz that's going on in our life. And let me tell you, you are in store for a super phenomenal, gritty, tenacious, amazing gal who I met, Christina, and she's here with us today. Christina, I'm going to jump right into this because I'm not even going to give you the full introduction because your stuff is so good. And with that being said, Christina, tell us a little bit about you and why did you choose the career path that you're on? Because it is pretty amazing.
I don't know how to match your enthusiasm level right now.
All good.
I'm more like even keel. I'll be down here. You be up there. And we'll
perfect. Perfect. We'll balance each other out.
So I have a really unique background as far as like how I ended up. I'm in the construction industry. So, and I'm moving a little bit, starting next week, moving into engineering. So it's just been an ongoing adventure. But my background is actually, I went to school for journalism. So a lot of people who find me generally will find me on LinkedIn because I write on there a lot about marketing, specifically for construction. And so that's kind of like where I've become a little bit of like a quote unquote influencer in that space. But I actually started out of college producing live concerts. And I started a concert series in Des Moines that still is going on today. I was an Iowa State grad. And then after that, I ran a large scale festival, the Des Moines Arts Festival. For anybody who's from the Midwest, it's really large, like 250,000 people over a weekend. So that was really awesome. So I'm kind of like an undercover hippie in the way that I love art. I love music. I just have always been that kind of creative soul. But when I moved back to Minnesota, because everybody moves home eventually, right? I took a job as a jeweler. So my best friend's dad was like, why don't you come work with me as a jeweler? We're about to go out of business. It was the economic downturn. And I just said, okay, I'll try that. Whatever, I need a job. And that was the beginning of really me discovering my voice for marketing. And it all came down to the fact that he was this big, outspoken Greek man, and his business was failing, even though he had this gigantic personality, right? Like, Erica, you have a gigantic personality. So you really done a really good job of really reining that power in, right? But he had no marketing happening. So we just started making videos on Facebook and featuring him and talking about custom design jewelry. We started talking more about, like, if you lose a piece of jewelry and you want to do insurance replacement, whatever. And we tripled business in the first year during an economic downturn. And it was like, holy shit, like we've got something here. And then I was hooked on the storytelling. And from there, it just snowballed. I became a partner there. I thought it was my forever thing until I met a guy, right? We always meet men.
And yeah, right, right. So there's always something that pops in there one day or another, right?
Yeah, you fall in love and then the whole world just turns upside down and you're just like, oh no. Whole new direction. But I met a guy who was a blue collar guy. And I just started digging into construction and meeting more people that were in that space and just realized that those were my people. So I left a successful business to literally jump right into construction with no background whatsoever.
Really? And let me tell you, like the way she describes herself is so perfect is, and I love that she put this, like actually when she wrote her bio, she put, she's self-described mom from the burbs who just happens to be obsessed with all things construction. So you can imagine, I kind of have a secret girl crush on her as I'm looking at her LinkedIn post. And I'm like, this girl is a phenomenal writer, but she's in construction. And most of us that are in construction are really good, like at like math and science, but we really suck at writing. And then I read Christina's, I'm like, how is she doing doing both. And I want to meet her and I want her on my podcast because she just had such a cool background and she was so willing to be vulnerable and share who she was and show other women that they can go after those goals and dreams and be not be afraid of it and really be her true self. And, you know, Christina, I know, you know, there's so many women that and men that are watching you that you really hold that pedestal, that you really put yourself out there in what you do. And if you guys aren't watching her on LinkedIn or on her social media, definitely check out the show notes and get in front of her because she's so intriguing to watch. And, you know, Christina, just all accolades to you because I know it hasn't been an easy road.
No, I know it's not been an easy road, but nothing worth doing is ever easy, right? Like we take our negative experiences and we turn them into something positive. And that's what I've done with my life. It's funny, you know, people talk about, you know, that they follow me or that they like look up to what I'm saying or doing, you know, and then I'm sitting here like on my couch with my kids, like my kids are 5 and 8 years old and I'm just like eating popcorn or ice cream and drinking wine on a Friday night, like look like a pile of garbage. And I'm like, why do people want to hear what I have to say?
Because you're real. And honestly, that's what gravitated to me. So, you know, when I first saw your posts, I mean, they look perfect. You know what I mean? The way that they're written, these, you know, really beautiful pictures. And I'm like, this girl has it all together. And you do, you have it together in so many beautiful ways, but you also were so real. And I think when we got on the phone with each other and you were willing to tell me about being a single mom, raising two kids, you were telling me a lot about like your past and some things that some heartache and pains and stuff that we've both been through, right? You talked about everything from like your gardening and your family and painting being priorities in your life, but you also were a true advocate for domestic abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. And to me, with my recent events, I think that really resonated with me, being someone that wasn't abused domestically, but someone that was assaulted pretty severely to the point that it was attempted murder. You and I really resonated a lot with each other that way.
I think we were like 10 minutes into the phone call and we're like, holy shit, that's happened to me too.
Can you come over for popcorn and wine right now?
I'll be right there. I actually don't speak a lot publicly. So this will probably be kind of a first for me. I don't speak a whole lot about domestic abuse just because like we talked about on the phone, like I have young kids, like the last thing I ever want to do is bring any of my negative experiences with my past relationships in front of my children. Right. And you never know when that's going to pop up or who it's going to be presented to. But all I can really say is that I spent about 20 years of my life in two separate marriages to two men who had anger issues and were dealing with their own demons. And what it all comes down to is therapy, right? And like that aha moment when somebody in your life, and it might just be yourself, but somebody in your life, whether it's your family member or you having this moment where I can't do this anymore, pulls you up and says, all right, it's time to do something different. For me, mine was actually my mother-in-law. And she said, you need to leave. I know that you want to fix this situation and you want to stick it out. But she saw what was happening and she said, you have to leave. And that was a moment for me in my life that defined everything. It gave me permission to move on to a different place. And it has not been easy. And the stress that I've had to take on over the past couple of years has been a lot, but also worth it times a million. My kids are thriving. I'm thriving. I'm happy. I'm in a positive relationship. My therapist says I'm in love for the first time. And I'm 40 years old.
That's amazing. 40 years young, girlfriend. I mean, if you guys could see her now, I know this isn't a video podcast, but I mean, talk about 30 years young. I mean, it's like, you know, and you live life that way. And that's so important. You're going out there and you're living life in such a beautiful way. And you're willing to pivot and you're willing to change and you're willing to take the risk and you're willing to say, hey, I might sacrifice A, B, and C, but it's going to bring me the rest of the alphabet. Right. And that's the way I look at you. And, you know, in the way that, you know, our conversation went, you know, about what you're doing both personally and professionally.
I don't think there's really a whole lot of choice sometimes, especially as a single mom. And I think that that's where it comes down to, right? I don't have a choice. Like, mm-hmm. I have to do what's best for my kids. And what's best for my kids is to always choose them. And by choosing them, I really have to choose myself. Mm. I have to put personal health and my mental health ahead of a lot of things, because if I'm not there for them, I can't be there. I would just, I don't even know what I would do if I was failing my kids, right?
Right.
That's what we live for. That's how we function. I mean, being a good mom is literally top of my list.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's important that I'm fulfilling myself professionally and, you know, spiritually and all the things emotionally. My kids seeing me in a healthy relationship, my kids seeing me take time to spend painting or working in my garden, you know, making them see what hard work looks like. All those things equal, you know, being a good mom and being there for my kids.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you know, people try and find more of like, you're so busy, right? You work corporate America, you're out there, you know, making an impact, you're writing, you're doing your gardening, everything else in between. How do you really make sure that every day you're defending that time for practicing self-care and practicing self-love? Any tips or advice that you have for anyone that's on this right now, listening, saying, you know what, I need to do more of that. And right now, maybe they're where you were 5 years ago, right? And they yeah. I don't know if you could practice self-care or self-love when you were in that situation. And I probably assume that you couldn't.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I actually was in a job where I traveled a lot at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through therapy and through reflection, I figured out that I traveled so that I could get a break. It was like that.
Makes sense.
I'm away from my relationship to reset and go back into sort of like quote unquote battle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And self-care for me right now looks really different than I think what people envision self-care to be.
Right.
Just what fits into my time, right? So it's going to be like taking an extra long shower or reading a book or, you know, drinking a glass of wine or splurging on like really nice ice cream, like whatever. It's just going to be that extra time that I focus on how am I going to make myself feel good right now? That's basically it. And working out is important to me, staying physically fit and just eating good food. I'm a celiac, so I have to be really smart about what I'm eating and what I'm putting in my body. So I invest in healthy things, but yeah, I think it's self-care at this point in my life is just sort of like being aware more than anything. Extra snuggles with my kids, being okay with, instead of reading two books before bed tonight, we're going to watch cartoons because I just can't do it anymore.
And we're going to have breakfast, dinner. You know what? We might have dessert dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, I see that sometimes, like, it's funny when my husband travels. I'm like, you know what? Let's go for Dairy Queen tonight. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah, for sure. Dishes. Oh, yeah, for sure. Paper plates are always in my cupboards.
I mean, literally, though, but that is self-care. And that's being like, listen, there's no such thing just because they didn't have carrots tonight or a breast of chicken. Like, I'm not failing, right? Like, if anything, I'm showing my kids like adaptability and I'm showing my kids how to move on and how to do different things and how to, like, you know, just have fun. Like, on a random Tuesday night, like last night, my son was at football with my husband. And you know, we're sitting there and I'm like, I have so much to do. I'm trying to get ready. I have like this big event this weekend. And I'm like, I have so much going on. I should be doing work stuff. And I was like, let's go get you a manicure. And she's like, really? Like, it was like so out of the ordinary, right? And it was an hour of our time. But you would have thought that I took her to Disney World last night. Like, with the way she, when her brother came home and she got to show her brother that she got a flower planted on her little nails, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, again, just doing little things like that. And whether it's nails or whether it's gardening or whether it's art or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be, you don't even need to spend any money, right? Just doing things that are sometimes out of the path of the ordinary. And it felt uncomfortable for me at first. And at the same time, we came back and I felt so much better and so much more rewarded in that way.
I forget how much just direct, intentional time with our children can impact them, even if it's 5 minutes, honestly.
Yes.
You know, like, if I sit with my daughter and just rub her back and, you know, talk to her about her day for 5 minutes, it has such an impact on her and she just shines, you know, like she's getting, it's like, I am the sun and she is basking in my attention. And that as a parent is like, okay, this is the effect I am having on a child, right?
Yep. And I always say, you can't, there's two things we can never, ever buy, right? We cannot buy more time, no matter how much billions of dollars we have, and we can't buy our health, right? Mm-hmm. And those two things, and to give your kids that, like, just a healthy, happy lifestyle, and also to give them your time. And like you said, it's about the quality of it, not the quantity of it, right? Because some days it is 5 minutes for me, fortunately or unfortunately. Like, one of the things, like, still laying with them in bed. And everyone's like, well, they're 6 and 9, really? Before they go to bed? I'm like, yeah. I was like, it's just become a habit. And you know what? It's our special time together because our days are so, we're shuffling here and there all the time. So finding what works for you and not judging anyone for, hey, whether it's the Dairy Queen ice cream or it's the laying in bed when they're 9 years old or, you know, whatever that looks like, it's okay. And just unapologetically being able to do that. So switching paths a little bit here. Is there anything that anyone like really like misunderstands about you? Like, right, you see your blogs and you see your LinkedIn and you see what you're doing in the construction field, but there, is there anything you like want to share with us that you're like, ooh, someone doesn't know this about me? Or
I think the thing I have a lot of confusion with, and I keep getting this feedback from people and I try so hard to work on it, but people keep telling me that I come across as hard, or like I'm too aggressive or too opinionated, or just, and I don't know how to avoid that, because and you can probably relate, because I can't be anybody else than myself.
Right.
And when I'm passionate about something, I have a really hard time holding back. So I am an empathetic person. So I can generally interpret how somebody is feeling, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think that people aren't necessarily used to women in general just speaking up for themselves to the point that I do. I mean, I think that there are a lot of outspoken women, and I think there's a lot of people who, you know, are great leaders as females, but I think I act sort of masculine, especially in a professional setting, and that makes some people very uncomfortable.
Yep.
I
think you and I share that commonality.
Yeah,
it's not easy. Like you, and I think part of it's being in this industry, really male dominated. Yep. And I hate to say it, like there's a lot of people that wouldn't survive in it or wouldn't care to be in it because they'd have to put on a little bit of that facade. And I also think a lot of it comes from your background, like, right? Like in my background too, like you're learned to like, hey, survival mode. And you've got to put that hard tortoise shell on sometimes and go out there and play combat, because you had to play a lot of combat earlier in your life, right?
Yep.
And that's not just something you strip away. It's become part of you.
I learned really young, and I know that we talked about this on the phone, but I grew up in a not great situation at home. And what I learned from a young age is that nobody is going to advocate for me except for me to the level that I need, right? So when I walk into a room and I immediately know that I'm being underestimated, it's my job to advocate for my skills and for what I can do. Just like I had to do when I was younger, right? Like if I needed something, I had to speak up about it and say something about it. And all through college and all through just like being in the career and professional, like I've always had to advocate for myself. Nobody else is stepping up and saying, you should totally do this because Christina says so. Like I say it because Christina says so.
Right. And Christina, there's one thing that I would love for you to share, because I think it's really important. So you like all of a sudden you were, you know, working full time and your job like literally overnight just kind of like went away. Right. What did you, can you just describe to listeners who are out there who may be in that position right now, who may be in a position that they're like, I want to put myself out there, but I don't know what to do, and what you did and the impact that came back to you because you were willing to be brave and put that post out there?
You know, I think that when we lose a job, if anybody who's ever lost a job before, it is very embarrassing, right? You feel ashamed, you feel sad, you feel like you've done something wrong. And those are the immediate feelings I had when I lost my job, not even a month ago now. So on September 12th, and I was completely gobsmacked. I had no idea what was going to happen. And as a single mom, solo income, I was just like, holy Hannah, what am I going to do? And I got home, and because I write, I wrote, and I just posted, you know, with puffy face, like crying all day, like just hot mess, posted about not knocking down my former employer, because that's not going to get me anywhere, but really posting about my strengths and my weaknesses and what I was looking for on a team. And I just put it out on LinkedIn. And I feel like I put it out in a manner that was very open straightforward. I didn't post a picture of me in a business suit. I posted a picture of me sitting on my doorstep and was just like, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I can do for you. This is what I bring to the table. And that post went viral. And I've had posts go quote unquote viral before, but not to this extent. But I had like, I think at the final count, I counted like 42 job opportunities were sent over to me that first week. I lost my job on a Monday, and by Friday I had had
42.
Yeah.
42 guys. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I can't find my job, I can't do this. Like 42 in 1 week, and like, go back and read her post. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, oh my goodness, I want to hire this person. Right. But at the same, because she's being truthfully, and she's telling me what her passions and strengths are, but simultaneously, she's not afraid to tell me what her weaknesses are. Right. Because everyone has them.
Yeah.
Right. And you just put everything out on the table and said, love me as I am. And if I'm not the girl for you, fine.
Exactly.
Don't offer me a position.
I think that the nice thing about that too, and doing it on LinkedIn, is because I've been so vocal and myself on that platform, people who have been following me and then saw that post were like, oh, I know this girl. I know her personality. I know what she's bringing to the table. And so it almost was like they had already vetted me because they knew that I had a strong personality. I'm never going to hide the fact ever again that I have a strong personality and that I will come in and try and change things for the positive and drive the business. Like that's what I want to do. And so, you know, luckily the person who ended up making me the job offer that I accepted happened to be scrolling that day. And we talked on the phone the next day. And then I had another interview with his counterpart that Friday and had a job offer in hand by first thing Monday morning, exactly a week after losing my job. And I accepted the job 9 days after losing my job. And I had 3 written offers by then and 5 verbal offers and 15.
Bam. I mean, talk about grittiness, right? I mean, you should just be so proud of yourself. And I know you're not saying this to brag or to boast, but I'm doing this to empower someone else that's listening to this right now. Someone else that's stuck right now. Someone else that's scared to like put themselves out there vulnerable. Like, and that was not an easy post. Like, when I'm sure when you press send, you got that gut punch in your stomach and you're like, I know this is well written, but I have no idea what's going to come back. What type of hardballs or softballs could hit me back, right?
Yeah. Every time I post something, because I do write passionately, I always am sort of like, oh crap, I hope this is received.
Who am I offending?
Yeah. Like, who am I going to offend today?
Right. But I think if you truly speak from your heart and from your soul, and that's who you are. And I think you do. When I read your post, even when I first met you, I remember feeling a little intimidated. I'm like, oh, I don't know if this girl's even going to get on the phone with me. Like, and I mean that in a good way, because that's your persona. That's who you are. The minute we started talking, I'm like, she's amazing. Like, there's nothing like, there's no like mixed agenda. This is just who she is. And I actually respected it a lot. And I get that a lot too. Like, oh, you're kind of intimidating. You come in like a bull in a china shop. You're the, you know, and part of sometimes what I'll do is actually when I walk into that meeting and I know that's how I'm going to be received, I'm like, listen, I speak with passion. I speak with like my heart and soul. And if I come across aggressive at all, it's not intended to you. It's really intended. It's not against the people. It's driving the purpose, right? Driving the passion, you know, and or driving the problem, right? Don't fault the person, fault the problem. You know what I mean? Because there's always a problem that's going on. It's usually not an employee that wants to be, you know, a jackass. Like, you know, it's usually there's some other circumstance that's going on, whether it's personally with them, whether there's something at the office, whether they don't feel accepted. Like, get to the problem before you blame the person. And that's not always easy to do. And the people that know me just expect me to walk in there and be like, mommy. And yet again, there's a lot of people that like don't know me. And sometimes I do need to like bring that down a little bit. But don't change that.
No, and I agree. And my biggest frustration coming into any sort of boardroom conversation is if you are in the space, especially when you're coming in as an outsider, it's usually pretty easy to pinpoint the problem. And chances are 90% of the people in the room know that problem. They just will not say it out loud because there's like perception of like, this is the way we've always done things. And that's the the thing that I do that makes people uncomfortable, which makes me kind of sad, because I feel like discomfort, while it kind of sucks sometimes, it can also really catapult a business forward.
100%.
Forward as individuals. And, you know, when you talk about the post I put out there and like advice for people who are maybe in a situation like that, is you're going to have to get uncomfortable to find the right job for yourself too. You're going to have to put yourself out there. The problem with job searching right now, in my opinion, is everybody's just submitting resumes online and then they get declined and then they get so sad, right?
Right.
You need to be picking up the phone, which is like this lost art form that we don't do anymore, and reaching out to your network. Don't send them an impersonal message on LinkedIn. If you have their phone number, you should call them or shoot them a text or whatever, but like utilize your
network. On LinkedIn now, there's the voice message feature.
Yeah, I know you actually
sent me one. I sent you one. See, that makes it, but how much of a difference? Maybe you wouldn't have gotten on the phone with me being like, who's this girl? Why does she want to talk to me? But when you can hear that inflection, you can hear that excitement, because you can read between, you know, text, but when you hear someone speaking, it's a whole different level of sincerity. And so many people, like you said, are just sticking behind the text, sticking behind the little messages that, you know what I mean, become just noise, right? Yeah. And when you make the noise with your own voice and your own passion, that's when people are like, wait, I want to connect with you, right? And then I got on the phone right away and I'm like, I'm so excited that we did, because you know, like I said, that day I could have talked to you for 3 hours. It was just awesome.
And they need to not be afraid to ask for the referral or ask for the introduction or, you know, and I think that that's the thing that's difficult as well. It's like, someone might say, like, I've posted before and been like, if you see someone in my friends or in my connections that you want to talk to or want to be introduced to, like, shoot me a message, introduce yourself to me. And then I'm happy to make that introduction.
100%.
And I think that's how these networks need to be utilized. We need to be all helping each other out, because there's so much work to go around if we could just get out of our own ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, well, man, listen, I could absolutely talk to you all day, Christina. You are just such a gem, such a light. You have just so much going for you. There's no doubt in my mind, like the big, massive, you know, audacious goals that you're going after are just going to like absolutely catapult and continue to explode and just in such positive ways. But just, you know, continue to be that person, continue to go out there, because you are lighting a lot of things on fire in a really, really positive way. So with that being said, let's close with this. What is the one word that you would use to describe you? And I know I'm putting you on the spot there.
Shit. That's not the word.
Shit.
I guess I would say tenacious.
Yes.
I think that's been kind of a word I've liked. I like the word moxie too. Just sort of like aggressive and passionate, but also passionate, like, but in a good way, right? Like,
yeah.
That's just, I like those. Yeah.
When I see you, I'm like, she's just bold. She's bold and badass and willing to go after, you know, and brave. So, you know, I love that, Christina. I'm so honored that you were here today to talk on Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Guys, if there's someone out here that needs to hear Christina's message, some way that you need to connect with her, you want to like go and learn more about her journey, please, please go find her, go connect with her. Don't be that person that just leaves that, you know, blank message. Go there and really engage and share this podcast with someone else. Someone else needs to listen to this today. Someone else forward it, put a comment in the review, go find Christina, because we are here to be gritty. We're here to give each other grace and certainly go and celebrate all the glitz and the good thing that's going on each and every day. Christina, I'm so honored to have you today. Guys, go out there and serve, be safe, and have an awesome, awesome day. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.